Do keep that open, and you should have a handout as well. The Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts, be helpful to have that. And if you've got a pen, feel free to make notes. There are some pens at the back as well. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your Spirit who is with us now. We thank you that he enables us to hear and to respond to your word. And we pray that he would do that right now. Please help us to grow as your people, as your body. Amen. We often take the different parts of our bodies for granted, don't we? Until something goes wrong. I wonder if you've ever had this experience. You break your arm, you have tooth pain. I've had that a couple of times, it's terrible. And suddenly you realize how wonderful it is when your arm or your tooth or whatever works properly. And when the tooth pain goes or the arm returns to normal, for a few weeks you're giving thanks for a healthy arm, a healthy tooth. Till you forget about it and start taking it for granted again. Stop to think about it, how the different parts of our bodies work together to make the whole body healthy. And the Apostle Paul says it's the same with the church, which he calls the body of Christ. The whole body, the church, is healthy when each part is doing its work as it should. When the arm's working, the eye's working, the little toe is working, and so on. Last week we finished a series considering John 14 to 16, what's known as the Upper Room Discourse. And Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure, and we heard several times Jesus teaching about the Holy Spirit. The two particular talks are listed at the end of the handout, along with lots of other talks. If you weren't here for either of those, then it would be worth following them up on the website. We've heard that the Christian life is life in the Spirit. He is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, sent from the Father. He glorifies Christ. He brings the presence of Christ to his people, and he reveals the truth to his people and to the world. So I thought this was a good opportunity to spend a few more weeks learning about the work of the Holy Spirit from other parts of the Bible. And today we're thinking about the work of the Spirit in the church. There's one sense in which without the Holy Spirit there would be no church, because there'd be no Christians, there'd be no believers. But given there are believers, what does the Holy Spirit do within the church? And we're thinking in particular about the whole area of spiritual gifts. There are key passages in the Bible that talk about spiritual gifts. There's the one that was read. There's Ephesians 4, there's Romans 12, and 1 Peter 4. The references are on the handout. And we've looked at all of these in their context in the past. And again, you can find those talks on the website if you'd like to. So today I'm not going to sort of do a detailed analysis of 1 Corinthians 12. Rather, I'm going to draw out some key insights on the work of the Spirit in giving spiritual gifts to his people. And it's worth also saying that I have an eye as I speak on next Sunday and the whole church conversation about the way forward for the Allenby churches. So first of all, verse 1, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. We're in the right place. Paul wants us to know about the gifts of the Spirit. And the word he uses is charisma. And it literally means that which is freely given. It's a gift, a free gift from God. We don't earn it. We can't take credit for it. And that in itself is important, because it's very easy if I have a particular gift to think I'm special. But no, we shouldn't be proud because of our gifts. That was the problem in Corinth, and we can fall into the same trap. Each church, I think, is guilty of it in one way or another, valuing particular gifts particularly highly, and those who have those gifts are becoming proud and thinking, well, I'm special. It's also worth noting that Paul means more than particular spiritual gifts like preaching and prophecy. Later on, he talks about the gift of helping. In Romans 12, we read of the gift of serving, of encouragement, of giving generously. So it includes natural abilities. For example, we've been hugely grateful to those over the years with the gift of serving and of administration. We couldn't continue without them. It includes our heart and our personality. So if I'm empathetic towards someone, I'm more likely to give generously to them and to encourage them. That's anything God has freely given us, part of our character, our abilities, empowered by the Spirit, that can build up the body of Christ, the church. The next thing to see is that every Christian has been given spiritual gifts, and we've been given them for the good of all. Verse 7. Come on. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Notice that phrase, to each one. Every single believer has spiritual gifts. And it's worth pausing there, because there are Christians, and there may be some amongst us, who think, I don't have any gifts, or my gifts don't matter. Or it may be there are Christians who think, yes, I have a gift, but it's not very important. In verses 12 to 26, Paul turns to the image of a body. He compares the church to a human body, and he specifically addresses the issue of someone thinking, my gift doesn't matter, verse 15. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Pretty clear, isn't it? Every part of the body is needed. So we all have gifts. Our gifts are needed. If we're not using them, the body suffers. Like the experience I mentioned earlier of having a broken arm or pain in your tooth. The whole body can't function properly. During my most extreme period of toothache, I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. And when I broke my thumb a number of years ago, I couldn't write. And I'm sure we can all think of similar examples in our own lives. What would happen if those with administrative skills weren't using them for the sake of the church? Or those with ability to serve the refreshments? Or those with pastoral gifts? The list goes on. And so much of the serving here at the Unabi Churches is behind the scenes, but it's no less important for that. And if there's someone here who doesn't know what your gifts are, well, you do have them. And I'd encourage you to find out what they are. The best thing to do is to ask someone. Often other people notice what we're good at more than we do ourselves. The other thing you could do, at the back, just by the door, there are some sheets headed Your Shape for God's Service. And this is something you can fill out just to get an idea of what your gifts might be and where you might fit. I encourage you to fill that in and maybe talk to someone about it. And if you know your gift but you don't think it's valuable, well, listen to Paul. Your gift is needed. Maybe in the past someone's given the impression that that it's not? And if so, I'm sorry. God says your gift is needed. And they're given for the common good. We've already touched on this, but sometimes we might slip into thinking consciously or subconsciously that it's for me. We might take pride in our gift, or we might use it for our own sake to advance our own agenda. Or as we saw it last week at Deep and Wow, we might simply need to use our gift to earn God's favor for ourselves. Sadly, there have been a number of examples recently of high-profile Christian leaders who've abused their position of leadership for different reasons. And there's lots we could say about that, but one thing we can say is that they were using their gift in some way for their own ends rather than for the common good. Ultimately, our reason for using our gifts should be love. That's why Paul goes on from 1 Corinthians 12 to the famous 1 Corinthians 13 that's often read at weddings. He's saying all the gifts we have no value if there's no love, if our motivation isn't love. So let's be honest with ourselves. Let's search our heart and ask God to reveal any motives that aren't pure as we serve. And none of us is perfect, but let us ask God to help us use our gifts for the common good, for the sake of the body. It's also worth saying there are some things that all Christians are called to do, but some people have a particular gift for. So one of the gifts Paul mentions is helping in verse 28. And this is the practical gift of helping fellow Christians in all sorts of ways. It's similar to serving in Romans 12. It could include helping at a personal level. It could also include helping in a Sunday service. I guess refreshments fit into that category, although they might also fit into hospitality. We're all called to help and serve each other as we can. But it's also true that some people have a particular gift and capacity for doing that. And we could probably name one or two people as I say that. And in the same way, the lists in Romans and 1 Peter and Ephesians talk about evangelism, they talk about encouragement, they talk about hospitality, they talk about generosity. They're all things that we're all called to do, but some people have a particular gift for them. And again, we could probably name who they might be. And it's worth also noting that there are differences between the lists of gifts. And it is worth looking up the other lists later on. In particular, the list in 1 Corinthians 12 is more focused on the obvious spiritual gifts like tongues and messages of wisdom. And that's because Paul was writing to address particular issues in Corinth, where they were emphasizing particular spiritual gifts and boasting about those gifts. And Paul's wanting to correct that thinking. So he mentions a number of obviously spiritual gifts, but he does so in the context of all gifts being important. So the gifts on the other lists are just as important and just as spiritual. Things we've already mentioned, like serving and evangelism and encouragement and hospitality and generosity and teaching and pastoring. And of course, the lists aren't exhaustive. There are endless numbers of gifts that we might have that can build up the church. Let's just briefly think about some of the gifts Paul mentions. Some of them are easier to get our head around. Helping, we've talked about. Guidance and administration that he mentions in verse 28. Guidance, which can also be translated as administration. This is talking about different forms of leadership. The noun that it's related to refers to pilot or sea captain. So it's referring to those who show the way forward and take us on the way forward. So it would include wardens for us at the Annaby Churches. It would include PCC members. It would include those involved in administration. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. These seem to be significant in 1 Corinthians in the sense that the Corinthians were emphasizing them too much. They were saying these are really important, more important than other things. And Paul wants to correct that. For 14, he says he would prefer it if someone were to prophesy than to speak in tongues. One of the difficulties with this gift, as with some others, is that many of us have experienced abuses of the gift. But there are people in the Anabi churches who have this gift. Most use it privately. Occasionally, it's used in public. But Paul says clearly in chapter 14 that only use it in public if there is someone who can interpret as well to help everyone else understand. So those are a bit easier. Then there are others that are harder to understand. And this is because often we learn about a gift through experiencing it, not through being told what it is. So just for example, over the years I've discovered that sometimes I have a sense of what's going on in the spiritual realm, that I need to pray a particular time, that a particular place is spiritually oppressed. And initially I was suspicious about this, but over the years I've grown to trust it. And only at that point do I ask, well, what kind of gift is this? It's not on a list. It's not Paul saying, you've got that gift. It's me experiencing it and then thinking, okay, what kind of gift is this? And I think probably it would fit in the category of distinguishing between spirits. But the point is, sometimes we experience the gift first and then we work out what it is and where it fits. I think the same would apply for messages of wisdom and knowledge, for faith, for gifts of healing, for miraculous powers. And I've given brief definitions of each of those at the end of the handout. But what should we do if we think God might have given us a gift in those categories, or indeed in any category? Well, we should ask him to confirm that it's from him. We should ask him to teach us how to make use of it for the good of the body. And we should ask him to give us more. If it's from him, we want more of it, or we should. I'd just like to spend a moment particularly talking about prophecy. I talked about this in more detail a few years ago, looking at 1 Corinthians 14. And again, you can listen to the talks on the website. What is prophecy? There's a lot of disagreement, actually, about what is meant by prophecy. It seems to me the word in the New Testament or in the Bible covers a whole spectrum of speech. So at one end of the extreme is the authoritative, thus says the Lord, prophecy of the Old Testament prophets, for example. At the other extreme is a word of encouragement from Scripture for a particular person at a particular time. Many times people have said to me, I thought you might be encouraged by this Bible verse in your situation, and I have been. That's prophecy. In between are insights into what might happen in the future, pictures, although some people might say that fits with messages of wisdom, but that's, again, categories don't really matter. And perhaps the most helpful and common type is simply where a person is given an insight, often from Scripture, that will help another person in the situation they're in. As I heard someone put it recently, prophecy is the Father's heart revealed to one person for the benefit of another. The Father's heart revealed to one person for the benefit of another. Why do I highlight prophecy? Well, Paul says it's important in chapter 14, and I think it is an important gift for the health of a church, and it's perhaps one that we've neglected over the years. And I'm aware that we've got a few people with a gift of prophecy at the Anabi churches, I'm happy to tell them who I think they are later. There may be others that I'm not aware of. And I'd love for us to be able to talk together about how we can encourage the use of that gift going forward. 1 Corinthians 14 also suggests that the Spirit might give us insights appropriate to the body during a gathering, or that it's appropriate to share in a gathering. And I want to encourage us to find ways to do that. And that includes next week as we have our conversation about the way forward. I'll be sharing two that have been shared with me in the past that I think are relevant. Well, there's lots to think about, hopefully. How should we respond? Some very quick responses. First of all, let's not take the gifts for granted. Either the gifts given to us or the gifts given to others. Let's give thanks to God for them. And let's give thanks for the different parts of the body working together as they should. Second, let's honor other people and their gifts, recognizing them. I said earlier, often other people recognize our gifts more than we do. Well, let's tell someone. If we see them exercising a gift, they might not even be aware of it. And yet it's a blessing to the body. So let's tell them to encourage them. Third, as I said, if you don't know what your gifts and abilities are, well, do ask someone or take this worksheet on the way out and fill it in and talk it through with somebody. And maybe you want to serve in a new way or a different way. And if that's so, well, praise God. And next week, God willing, we will be making some suggestions of ways in which people can serve. But also, just talk to me or talk to your small group leader or someone you trust, or Gordon, our church warden, to think that through with them. Let's just pause for a moment and then I'll lead us in prayer. Father, thank you for the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives for the building up of the whole body. Thank you for the way that those gifts are being exercised here and across the wider church. And we do pray that you would help us increasingly to recognize and to exercise them. I pray especially for anyone who doesn't know what their gifts are or who thinks that they're not important. Please would you help them to hear what you have to say to them, that every part of the body is needed, every gift needs to be exercised. And we do pray that the body would grow more and more in maturity as we exercise those gifts and encourage one another in it more and more. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.